Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
We're talking about the little bonuses you found in your food. In honour of Glenn from Macquarie Fields, who we saw in the news today, went to get some cough lollies at Circular Quay, unwrapped one, was about to pop it in his mouth, and suddenly noticed, wait, there's a cockroach sealed into the sugary goodness of my cough lolly.
Preserved forever.
It did look a bit Jurassic Park in the picture. Suzanne, thank you so much for giving us a call. Now, what is the grossest thing that's shown up as a bonus in your food?
It was a piece of chicken bone.
Okay. Where was that?
It was years ago. It was a tub of natural yogurt that I'd bought.
I was thinking a chicken bone. Okay, if you went
sandwich or something, it's not that unreasonable. In your yogurt tub.
It was one of those little tubs of natural yogurt, and I'm eating away happily, and then there's this piece of chicken bone. And it was like, you know, that fine bone out of a drumstick, and now it has a little chunky bit on the end. It was the chunky bit on the end.
They should, often on packets you get disclaimers, this may contain nuts.
Traces of nuts.
This may contain...
Yeah. May contain traces of factory workers' lunch. Thanks for giving us a call.
But hang on, did it enhance the flavour in any way?
Yeah, it put me right off that yogurt. I've never bought it again.
All right, vanilla chicken flavour. 1-300-40-2020.
Hazel, what have you found?
I found, one of those milk trays with a little different variety.
Oh, yes, delicious.
So I usually have it by itself, just like that, you know. I never have it in half or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's munching away, and so I thought, I'll eat one too. And my one had a little worm wriggling in it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I bit into it, so it was pretty disgusting, and my husband nearly threw up too, so we thought, okay, let's just give the whole thing a miss.
Oh, did you send it to the company?
I rang, but they didn't get back to me, so.
Oh.
Yep. And I even checked the expiration date and everything. It was all fine.
It was a fresh worm. Oh, what have you got to complain about?
Roseanne, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, how are you?
Good. What happened to your daughter?
Yeah, we just went to a local restaurant for dinner and we ordered a drink and she had a glass of drink via the straw.
Mm-hmm.
She got something in her mouth and then she spit it up. It's a cockroach crawling the table.
No, in a straw. Oh, no.
With a straw, yes.
Oh, no.
See, it's funny, I'm laughing at that and Helen is really in some kind of pain over that.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh.
The one, though, yeah.
Oh, did you get the meal for free?
No, the drink was for free.
Oh, gee.
I shouldn't laugh, it's horrible. If it happened to me, I'd be...
You'd be traumatised.
I would be quite traumatised.
An antibacterial wipe hanging out of your mouth for the rest of your life.
I'll just start
scrubbing
piling
at your tongue.
Them in my mouth. I'd use them as dental floss. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning. I had my brother-in-law and his wife over for dinner, and I thought I'd go out of my way to impress them. So I went to one of the supermarket chains to buy, one of those fake seafood salads.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and brought home a tub of that and served it out, and on my plate, there was a Band-Aid.
No!
I don't know why I'm laughing, but, that's terrible.
Is it a flesh-coloured one or one of the blue ones that you have to use in hospitality?
One of the fleshy ones. And I didn't know what to do. I was trying to impress my brother-in-law and his wife, and I didn't say anything. So I didn't eat what was on my plate, but I just watched everyone eat.
Just hoping they weren't going to find one.
Yes.
Oh.
Did you sort of just cover it over with the seafood salad?
Nothing to see here, people. Enjoy your meals. Continue to eat happily.
They did, and I felt so terrible.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, if it was a pleasant one, like a Wiggles one or a Barbie Band-Aid, it might have been a bit...
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. I'm kind of disturbed at this, actually. Prince William and Kate Middleton, of course, the wedding. It's going to be massive.
Very exciting. April 29th.
The countdowns are already starting in all the papers.
Know.
And it's like 17 days and 2 seconds or something. But the thing, and this is serious and true, and the Queen is behind this. She's okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
The royal wedding is also, a dry run, a test run for the Queen's death, her funeral.
Oh.
That's awful. But
and she's
genuine.
Fine with that. She's taking an interest.
And she's very keen to make sure it runs smoothly and all the rest of it. Now, she's in good health. She's 84, of course, but very good health. But really need to rehearse the logistics and timing for what will be a huge ceremony.
Wow. She wants to make sure it's done properly.
I suppose so.
Maybe she wants to hear what people are going to say about her in her eulogy. See, that'd be the only bit I'd really want to know about.
But it's a wedding. It's a wedding.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any of that stuff. And how does Prince William and Kate feel about all of that?
Maybe she's a little competitive. She's worried that her thunder's getting stolen. She'd like to take a little bit of the spotlight back. But sure, wedding, but then there's me.
So when they're in the church where they'll do it, I guess it's one of the big cathedrals. I'm not up on the whole royal stuff. It's one of the big cathedrals. There will be the bride and the groom, but they'll also be imagining, okay, so the coffin will be just the, I mean, seriously, if they're doing a dry run for the wedding, that's what they're thinking. And I think it's in terrible bad taste. But if I do watch any of the wedding now, it will be a bit tarnished.
You'll just be looking for an undertaker with a tape measure.
I suppose if they have to do it, then what other event are they going to have like this?
Mm.
For a whole bunch of people working on the day, it will be ruined because they'll have other things they'll be thinking about in the lead up to, well, the inevitable for us all. But still have a great wedding.
Yeah. This guy has some cricket tragic credentials. He's a sports journalist. His dad was also the chaplain to the Australian cricket team while he was growing up, so pretty much grew up in the sheds with the Australian team. Clayton Hines, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. How impressed are you right now with Shane Watson?
Well, in sport, there's a thing called the zone. And last night, Shane Watson was parked right in the middle of it. I am impressed. He's put in an amazing performance and picked up half a dozen records at the same time.
Amazing. And the last 10 balls.
Yeah, he just went crazy. And his whole innings, 185 off 96. That's phenomenal. That is the best of the best kind of cricket there.
Incredible. And how record-breaking is that?
Well, the 185 is the highest score by an Australian. He beat Matt Hayden's record.
Wow.
150 of those runs came from fours and sixes, so he didn't even need to leave his crease. And 15 sixes in an innings, that's a world record as well. So, he's a world beater.
Sure, he might have beat Hayden's batting record, but can he cook?
That remains to be seen.
Yeah, right. It's amazing stuff. And I loved his reason for going so hard with all the sixes and the fours.
Yeah, just too tired. Legs a bit sore after the World Cup last month and didn't want to run. So what better way to score runs without actually having to run?
I've done a lot of things in my life because I didn't want to run, but breaking a cricket world record is not one of them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I wish I could do that instead of having to walk to work every morning.
Yeah, right. Is Watson captain material? Do you think we're going to see him as a captain one day?
Possibly. He's got the smarts. He knows his cricket. The team seems to love him. The public likes him. So it really depends on how Clark's going to go. And if Clark doesn't do quite as well as what Cricket Australia hopes, then Watson might be stepping up sooner rather than later.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's my tip. It really depends on how Clark goes.
I didn't know this, but windsurfing has actually been an Olympic sport since 1984. And there's a woman on track to wear the green and gold in London next year in windsurfing. Her name is Alison Shreve. She's been the world number one in 2005, in 06, in 07, again in 08. And now she's talking to us on the road to her Olympic dream. Good morning, Alison.
G'day, Helen. How are you?
Well, thank you. What is windsurfing like when you get up to that level? Like, what sort of speed and height are you getting?
Well, it's pretty full on. We actually race around a course like boats do. And so we have the whole racing tactics. You have to know the land, you have to know the currents, you've got to know the course of sailing and your competitors. And then you've got to also make the equipment go faster than everybody else and out pump everybody. So there's a huge physical aspect to it as well. And so quite mental, quite physical. And our Olympic trials actually go for the next 8 months, and I'll have to travel all around the world to do those trials and compete at those grade one events and world championships. So it's a pretty full-on program.
Wow.
Absolutely.
How fast do you go?
The fastest I've ever gone is around 38 knots, which is around close to 80 k's an hour.
Cool.
And that was on the canal in the south of France when I was going for the world speed record. But yeah, on the open water in the harbour, we'll easily hit 50 k's an hour in a good windy day. So it's a lot of fun, and there's nothing like skipping across the top of the water at those sort of speeds. It's just awesome.
Until you fall off, I suppose.
Well, if you fall off, you're on the water. So the only thing you've got to worry about is if you've crash onto your gear.
Oh, okay.
But if you land on the water, there's really, it's soft. So.
I guess so.
Do you get a bit jealous when you see how some other sports get treated in the lead up to Olympics? You know, all sports are sort of not created equal with the attention you get, are they?
It is something that is a fact that windsurfing is a lower profile sport in Australia than others. But I'm not complaining about it. Unfortunately, there isn't that much money in the sport in Australia. In Europe, it's massive, and I'm sure if I lived in Poland or France or Germany, I'd probably be a millionaire.
Oh, wow.
But, they have sponsorships and car deals and, all sorts of things because it's so popular over there. And we really have the best sailing conditions and windsurfing conditions in the world down here. And there are a lot of people sailing, but it's just not as well-funded down under, I should say. But, hopefully we can change that and raise the profile in Australia and even help some of the younger people coming through to help them go for the Olympics and achieve their dreams in professional windsurfing as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, nothing like a gold medal to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's the aim, and I think I've got a good shot. London will be windy, and strong wind has always been my specialty in Olympic class.
On that, I mean, you're a champion. You look at what you've won and what you've done. You're a champion, but I'm not someone who makes these decisions. What are your chances of qualifying?
But they're good. I have one very fierce competitor who has gone to the last few Olympics, so I do need to prove myself to the Federation that I am better than her. And there are other girls competing as well, but my main rival is quite good in light wind. So I've really got my work cut out for me this summer in Europe to start winning those races against her and proving that I'm the best. It's just the getting to Europe and affording that, and because it's a full-time job to train for the Olympics. I train 6 days a week, around 5 to 6 hours a day. That's including gymming and running and 4 or 5 hours a day on the water as much as I can. So it's pretty full on and really no time for a job. So it's a big, big, big program. Mm. And I'm up for it, and I'm excited, and I'm fit and strong, and I've been working really hard over the last few months. And
What role does your faith play in that kind of elite level training?
It's absolutely crucial, and I think one of my biggest encouragement with being a Christian and having faith in God is that no matter what my circumstances, I know my identity and I know who I am in God and that He has great things in store for me just because I love Him. And so while at the moment I seemingly don't have any money, if I was dictated by my circumstances, I'd be really stressed right now and I wouldn't be able to train. But you know what? I'm going out on the water every day and I'm training like I have the money to go. And I just have faith that He will provide for me. I love it. I love God, and I think it's awesome that the Creator of the universe is my best friend and backing me the whole way. So I don't have to worry.
Good stuff. Thanks for having a chat with us this morning, Alison.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. And if people want to follow me, they can go to aus911.com, and if they do want to donate to my Olympic campaign, they can also see details there.
We'll get all the details up on our website. Yeah, Alison does need help to get to the Olympics. And what an opportunity to be an Olympic sponsor. That's pretty amazing. If you or your business or anything want to be part of Alison's road to the London Games, all the details for how to get in touch with her will be up on our Facebook page.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.